Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your Tuesday. We told you all show long we've been talking to our buddy Austin Eckler, and he joins us as he does each and every week, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., presented by IT Cadre, Trusted Insight from Trusted Insiders, presented by IT Cadre, Austin Eckler, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin, it's been a fantastic season chatting with you every single week. Hate that this is our final ride here after the elimination game. But let's go back to Sunday going into the game. What was your guys' level of confidence heading up to Philly? How did you feel going into the matchup?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, this is it's been a great journey, and it was a great journey. Obviously, didn't end the way we wanted to, but going into that game, you know, the mindset was let's continue to hunt, just like we were, you know, the 2 weeks before that, going in the playoffs. Like, understanding that, you know, it's pretty much us versus basically ourselves, right? Let's go out there, and as long as we play our game, you know, we'll be able to find success like we have in the past. And so that was the mindset going into it.
What was different about the third time? Like, what sort of changes did you guys make, did they make, that you kind of noticed was different playing the same team for a third time?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, when you get to this point in the season, you are who you are, and you hang your hat on that. You're gonna live or die by that. And so it wasn't anything crazy that they did that we weren't expecting or anything like that, or vice versa. You know, just on that day, they were better at what they did than we were able to, you know, keep up with. And at the end of the day, as an offense, we just had too many turnovers. And as we know, watching the other games and even our games, you know, that turnover margin in the NFL, especially at the playoff level, is detrimental to your success. And that's kind of what ended up playing out for us.
One of the things we've been talking about with listeners, we've taken a lot of calls on the last couple of days, is the juxtaposition, Austin, of the amazing year nobody saw coming, the fun ride that we all went on that was kind of a gift, frankly, and then it ending. No, every year ends with a loss, but 55 points had never been scored in a conference title game, and you know, 50 million people watching and losing by 30, and like trying to make sense of all that. How do we feel about the end being what it was when it was so great all year? And I was kind of already, like, the minute the game ended, in the mode of, you know what? Thank God for this season. This is the best year in 33 years. I'm 36. I've never seen anything like this for this team in my life. Danny, it's taking a little bit longer. He's reeling a little more. What about you? Like, how do you compartmentalize those things?
Man, it sucks. You know, like, for us as competitors, you know, being in the building, especially when you have a lot of guys that weren't here in the previous year, and even if you were, right, every time you have a new season, it's a new mindset that, hey, we're going to go the distance. And to get that close and to, you know, kind of go out like that where it was a pretty brutal beating, it stings. Stings either way. Even if it was a close game and we lost, it would still sting. Like, just because you're so close to getting to that final game and really giving yourself a chance to be a world champion and just how much goes into it. And especially as a year eight player now, just knowing that teams are different every single year. You know, you can have high expectations and kind of flatline, or vice versa, like we did this year, where there's low expectations, but we actually superseded those. And you never know how the world's gonna, the game's gonna play out. You just know you're gonna give it your best shot, and hopefully that can give you some wins and give you a chance to get into the tournament. And it's a journey every single time. So I am I'm definitely still feeling it, like that weight will hold on me, you know, for a while, you know, definitely till the Super Bowl, because it's just, I can't even watch it. I feel like I'm just sick watching it, especially because, I mean, I've gone against the Chiefs for the past, you know, 7 years, and then also now the Eagles are on division, now they're going, so it's like, great. I'm getting the double dip of people that I don't want to see win the thing, so yeah, that's where I'm at.
How long does it usually take for you to kind of say, you know, just that as such a high-level competitor, Austin, to go from, you know, I'm so annoyed, I'm ticked off, it stinks having lost that last game, to, okay, I can have some appreciation for this journey here as I get a little bit further away. Like, for you personally, how long does it kind of take to turn that page?
Ooh, I feel like I need to have, like, I don't know, a month or so. Like, I need to get, like, in a different routine almost. Like, I've been in the football routine for so long, and that's kind of what I'm accustomed to right now. And until I can actually, like, get some time to get in a routine doing something else right now, to be training and dealing with some business endeavors, once that starts to become, like, a normal daily thing for me and gets my mind on something else, I think that's what it'll take. So at least, you know, February before I'm, like, feeling, like, okay, rejuvenated and my mind is, like, not thinking about it anymore, and kind of that weight of, you know, disappointment is lifted off of me. But there's always a little piece that will always remember what it felt like to be in that moment and lose that way.
Austin Ekeler, presented by IT Cadre, with us on Grant and Danny. You know, one of the things Dan Quinn talked about after the game, you know, obviously the three turnovers were such a key, but he talked about how he gave the Eagles a lot of credit. Like, it's not like you guys just dropped the ball or ran into each other or something, right? Like, the Eagles really made plays. The punch fumble on you when you were getting up after a really nice athletic catch and you're hopping back to your feet to try to go get extra yards. The Amis fighting for extra yards. Do you take any solace in that, or is that something where you're like, nah, dude, it just can't happen? Like, what's your thought on they get paid too, and those were pretty good defensive plays, even though they were kind of damaging plays?
Yeah, that's the margin of the NFL. And, you know, it's one careless play here or there with the ball, and that can, you know, turn into, you know, the game coming out in a different outcome. And for us, you know, it was more of a landslide since we had four turnovers. They had zero. They took care of the ball better than we did, you know, and it was kind of the opposite when we played the Lions, right? They didn't take care of the ball as well as we did. And it shows. It shows. It's not that you don't practice it. Obviously, we practiced it. We didn't turn it over at all. We were like, the week before, or this
book, you guys had zero.
We were like one of the lowest, you know, turnover teams in the league this entire year. And so it's definitely something that we coach. Dan Quinn says it almost every day. It's all about the ball. It's something that we're conscious of. But again, all the talking and practice is all to lead up to Sunday, to where it has to show up and it has to matter the most. And unfortunately, we were put in situations where there were some slip ups, including mine. You know, I take ownership of that. You know, I got to make sure, even if I'm getting up off the ground, protecting the ball, or know when the ride's over and just stay down. And, you know, we got to take that. And that's what sports is, who makes the least amount of mistakes. And for us on Sunday, it was them. And, you know, that's why. So it's not that it's not important. It's always important. It's always of utmost importance. It's about who can maintain the most discipline during the game.
Well, you put way more deposits in the bank than withdrawals. So hopefully not, you're not beating yourself up too bad. Our buddy Austin Eckler here on Grant and Danny on the Fan, joining us one final ride after this. The final game of the Commanders' season in the NFC Championship game, an amazing campaign where they ended up in the Final Four in the NFL. For the guys that are coming back like yourself with a multi-year deal, what do you think you can take out of the three playoff games you guys played in for a guy like Jaden, a rookie quarterback who hopefully is playing in games like this next year? Like, in what ways will you guys be better off for this experience and these scars, as Dan Quinn calls it?
Yeah, you know, when you have a new core group of guys come in like we did and new coaching staff, they bring in the new philosophy. So something that's going to carry over will be just those. Will be the standard of the team. Will also be kind of the expectation of this team now is at a new level for ourselves internally, because we know now our – not because, oh, we don't think we're going to win, but now because we know the capabilities of our team, which we really had some questions about, you know, at the beginning of the year when we were kind of unfamiliar with ourselves. And so now having a new core group with new philosophies and that are going to be here for a second year, I think we're really in a position to build off of what we've done this year. It's not going to be the same team, so it won't be necessarily apples to apples, but it's still going to be in the realm of the Dan Quinn flavor. We'll see what happens with the coordinators. I saw something about Cliff maybe not leaving or something like that. And obviously, you know, we have Jaden coming back, so, you know, our offense is going to run through him just like it did this year. So for an offensively standpoint, like, we're going to have our identity, and I think that's going to be something that is going to be established. And, you know, Jaden's going to be involved in running, passing, doing all that stuff, and then also keeping us in the RPO game, quick passes, you know, Terry coming alive this year as well in his way. So our identity has really solidified ourselves, and I think that's going to be the biggest carryover next year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Austin, you referenced it. That's the report, is that Cliff Kingsbury's, you know, on his way back to Washington. How important is that continuity, kind of keeping those same voices? As a guy that's been around in the league and gone through a couple different sets of changes, how important is that to kind of keep all those things you just mentioned, you know, everything on the train tracks?
Well, I mean, just look at the teams that have been there and done that. You know, look at the old Patriots. Look at the Chiefs now. And once you find a chemistry that works, man, as an ownership, I hope you're doing everything to, you know, to really hold on to that, because it's rare. And you can tell, because you can see every year all the different shuffles of coordinators and head coaches and this and that. And so that's what the NFL is. How can we put the best group of men together and support staff together to actually push this thing forward and maintain and sustain success? Because we know what that means. That means legacy building. And now, you know, the Chiefs are known as the heavy hitter. That's the team to beat. And, you know, what that does for the city, what that does for, you know, all of those fans that are in that, it makes it a staple in your legacy as a team, as a country. As a state, like you're represented. So there's so much that rides on. That's why we put so much into this. And I hope, you know, they do everything they can to continue to keep us in a place where we have a winning culture right now and try to keep it together. But at the same time, if they get another opportunity and they're like, hey, I'm going to go be a head coach over there, you can't blame them for that either.
Austin Eckler, 13 touches for the Commanders, heavily involved in their NFC Championship game in Philly this past weekend. Joining us here, presented by IT Cadre on Grant and Danny. We'll get some listener questions in just a couple of moments. In terms of progressing this offseason, like, they're going to go out and add talent and bring guys in to help you out. Danny and I have been talking a lot about how we're confident the team will be more talented next year, but that doesn't guarantee anything. Like, so much of this was about chemistry and the brotherhood and the locker room, and this group will never be the same. I mean, as a leader in the locker room, what's that part like for you in terms of you're going to have to recapture that magic a little bit with Dan Quinn?
Yeah, we will. We 100% will. And that's kind of the, you know, the plus and the minus, the good and the bad with sports, as far as you're going to have to do it over again, which can be a bad thing if you just had an amazing season because you know you're going to lose some people. But it's also a good thing because it's a new opportunity to kind of write a new story for that year if you're going through it. So it kind of makes things fluid, you know, and so that's what it will be this year. And there's no guarantees. I hope you know, for me as a player and a leader, I hope we bring in good guys that we had like this year. Most of the guys that are bought into a vision and really kind of bought into this brotherhood thing that we talk about all the time and what this standard means, what it means practicing, what it means taking care of the team. You know, really not a lot of problems coming from our team as far as, you know, our culture and especially going out to the media. Like, there's nothing really that really stood out this year that I've seen in the past where, you know, you can see some things that are divided, and obviously winning helps that. But definitely can be easy to just have pop up that we see so many times where it's, you have individuals that are popping off for not getting the ball or this or that. And you, there's just never, ever a sense of that it was ever going to be a thing just because of the guys that we had in. So, you know, you can't really judge a man's character from, you know, seeing him up front and seeing his stats, but I'm hoping that we can bring in some good character guys that are talented that, you know, can fit kind of the mold that we have here with DQ and Adam Peters.
Austin, you're such a sharp guy and very thoughtful about matters of the league and the sport in general and players and everything else. So I learned something this past week or this past Sunday as I'm watching the game. And the defense, your defense, was trying to stop a play. And the referee said, listen, if these guys do it again, I'm going to turn this car around and give Philadelphia points. I've never seen that. I'd never heard of that. What was first of all, did you know that? Second of all, what was going through your mind and the mind of the guys on the sideline going like, what the hell is this dude talking about? They're doing hard counts and guys are reacting. That sounded crazy to me.
Yeah, we every Friday we go over basically like a rules check, and we'll talk about some of the funky rules and things that can kind of come up through the NFL and talk through scenarios. So we've talked through that one before where they can actually award different types of points and weird kind of plays that come up. You know, someone runs off the sideline and stuff like that. So yes, I've heard of it. I've never obviously seen it, 'cause I don't think we've seen that in, I don't know, decades, ever happen. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, after the like second one, I'm just like, okay, like run the dang play. Like, we know what's happening. You know, it's freaking basically unstoppable. Like, just get it over with, like do something. And, you know, those guys, the defense, trying to do everything they can. Obviously, you know, Lubu's selling out to try to stop this play. And so desperate times come from desperate measures. So I don't blame him. Like, send it. And, you know, he got warned. And I mean, I thought it was, I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it, man, because I don't know what else you can do, because yeah, that stuff is basically unstoppable. So, yeah, that was a kind of a wacky moment.
Austin, I got two listener questions here. Presented by IT Cadre for you, so we can end the conversation with these couple. I'll start with Z, who says, what's Austin going to do to unwind after the long, crazy season? So what are your plans in the coming days to kind of get your head back on straight?
Yeah, as I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, it comes down to just getting into the off-season routine. And for me, it really comes down to my training regimen. Like, I'll get back into training. I'll take a few weeks off, not necessarily don't need it from like a lifting standpoint from getting hit and stuff like that. So let's let my body feel like it feels completely good. Like my finger, there's just a little, you know, residuals, like my fingers are jammed. My neck is sore to turn, you know, like to turn to different sides. Like my hamstrings are a little sore. So like things like that, that you'll give a couple weeks. And then for me, it's right back into my business endeavor. So I have an app that's helping athletes create content for universities right now for their collective duties and stuff like that. So we can continue to share the stories of ourselves as athletes for the fans. So that'll be my biggest priority as far as kind of like the professional world. But then keep myself in tip-top shape when it comes to my NFL journey and making sure that I'm putting in the time at the training facility. And then also I'm married now. I'm married for like 8 months. So I'll be spending a lot of time with wifey, you know, a vacation here or there. And then I think we have a few weddings and stuff like that. So that is my off season. And I am definitely looking forward to it after 8 years in the league.
Austin, last one listener question from Aaron. It says it's probably an underrated thing from fans how hard it is for you guys that have been together every day for, you know, three quarters, you know, eight tenths or whatever of a year every day as teammates, and this unit will never be the same again. What's the hardest part about kind of saying goodbye almost to a team?
Yeah, there's a few things in there that I'll give you some insights on. So definitely not seeing each other as much kind of just breaks up the camaraderie that we had just every single day. You know, some of us will stay in touch with each other, but a lot of that was us put in a position where we get to see each other every single day, and it's more so forced upon you. So that brotherhood's a lot easier to maintain, just like you when you're in college or high school, when you see your buddies every single day, and then you know you grow old, you kind of grow apart from each other because of you know locations and jobs and stuff. So now it's like now we all go back to I'm going to Nevada, there's going to Florida, Texas. So it just becomes a little bit more distant than it used to be. And then other things too, that we always miss, like for me, like in the routine of right, having a table to get like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, so really not having to cook at all. Like the whole routine is just kind of flipped on its head. I always tell my wife, I'm like, dang, one of the worst parts is now we got to make our own food. So, you know, it's just an adjustment that we have to do, but I mean, just like anything, we'll take it head on and, you know, get after it. But, yeah, definitely going to miss the guys. And I know some of them actually will be out in where I'm training. We'll train at the same place. So we'll stay in touch, obviously, through that and keep some camaraderie going. And I know OTAs is only a few months out. So that's what's great about off season as well, is we get some time together when we're training during OTAs.
Well, Austin, the season on the field for you guys was a blast. It was a lot of fun. 14 wins and an NFC title game appearance. Many of us will never forget it. But I got to tell you, on behalf of our producers, Darius and Ryan, and myself and Danny, we have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you and interviewing you once a week, all season long. Just such a pro, and we've had countless listeners reach out to us about things they've learned about the NFL experience or just really getting to know you through the airwaves. You've made a lot of fans here in D.C., but thank you for an awesome season. We really enjoyed this partnership.
Yeah, likewise. And I want to say thank you to you guys for, you know, letting me have this platform. This is your guys' show, and you guys are sharing that with me so I can get my voice out there and we can make some great content for everyone listening out there. So thank you to everyone that's been staying tuned and looking forward to coming back, and let's keep the wave going. We're not done yet. So I hope you guys are ready for next year.
Well, we're all ready. Hell, line them up. Week one, baby. Let's go. September can't come soon enough. I know you want to go to those weddings and have some fun.
Get
with
your
the
feet
wife.
Up a couple days.
Yeah, but we're not sore. We're ready to go. I can eat chips and dip and watch football again in a week. But seriously, enjoy your off season.
Thank you, buddy.
And we'll talk soon, hopefully, Austin. Thanks, brother.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, be good. There's Austin Eckler. One final time this season, presented by IT Cadre. Trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. He was tremendous all year
all
long.
All year long, man. Such a sharp dude. And I love how thoughtful he is and how, like, he's like, whether I expected the perspective or not, he's always got a perspective on something. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just any kind of recycled cliche. It's that, no, you can always tell. I've thought about that. Whatever that is,
yep.
I have an opinion about it, and this is why I do what I do, or this is why this is done this way, and it could be done that way, or this is the right way. There's always he has an answer for everything, and that's what I was always so impressed with him, man. Awesome every week.
You know what I'll say is, hopefully we do it again next year, and next year I'm going to make it a point to ask him more things about around the league stuff,
because
it wasn't until late in the year that we started to broach more like NFL themed conversations and not just what's going on with the Commanders matchup this week. And he was so good on that stuff.
Yeah. So for example, the coaching calendar, he volunteered that. It's not even, we asked him about it.
Right.
He's going, yeah, you know what I would do if I was in charge? I would have a moratorium on coaching hires the same way we do for free agency in the draft. I don't think it's fair.
I'll give and you, I went, yeah. My favorite was his take, though, on Saquon Barkley.
Another one, yeah.
And just how passionate and opinionated he was on running backs not being paid, what a lot of other positions get paid, and also the hard knocks behind the scenes video that we got to see of those negotiations and how bad the Giants looked. And he was excellent on that. Next, I want to get into our poll of the day. We're asking a question about who you're rooting for to win the Super Bowl. We just wanted to see how lopsided the poll might be as it pertains to rooting for the Chiefs or the Eagles, because obviously most people in this town are now rolling with Kansas City despite some fatigue on that front. We'll update that polling next on Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time for our G&D poll of the day, presented by our friends at Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Metro Moving and Storage. Danny, the question is, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Chiefs or the Eagles? Now listen, we are aware of the fact that the vast majority of fans in this area correctly will be rooting for the Chiefs. What we don't know, though, is how many people are just so tired of the Kansas City storyline. 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls, chance to three-peat. No one's ever done that. That they'll hold their nose and say, I want new blood. I can't imagine that, but I'd imagine there's some fans thinking that way. And right now, based on our polling so far, about 80% of 106.7 The Fan listeners, you can go vote on our poll at 106.7 The Fan's Twitter page. 80% are rooting for the Chiefs, 20% for the Eagles, which feels about 19% too high.
I was going to say 19% clicked the wrong button, and 1% are, you know, Delco Darrell who come down. There are people like my dad, who I love so much, but he's one of the you root for the team that beat you so you feel better about your season, guys, even if it's your arch rival. He's the kind of guy that if he went to a Big Ten school, he went to Maryland, so not a Big Ten school, but they are now. Whereas, like, if you went to a Big Ten school and you're an Ohio State fan and Michigan beats you, you hope Michigan goes to win the national title so it makes you look better. I never understood that. I was like, I want them not to be able to make the next game. Like, I hope they all get the flu and then the plane is grounded in some weird remote airport forever and they can't play.
The team in your division or in your conference is your arch rival.
Yes.
No to that.
No to that.
Also, you want Eagles fans to be happy?
That's a no for me,
dog.
You
need me to show you a few more videos from this weekend?
So I want to clarify this for the poll. There's a distinction that I draw. You may not draw it, but I do. This is my weird fandom brain, okay? I'm rooting against the Eagles. To me, that's very distinct for rooting for the Chiefs. Does that make sense to you?
Of course.
I want suffering and pain and sadness and devastation for the Eagles and all of their fans. I want it for the rest of my life and then generations after my life ends. I want nothing but misfortune, okay? Whoever I have to employ to get that, I will. The enemy of my enemy. Enough with the Chiefs. Enough Mahomesing.
So you're out on Kansas City.
I don't hate it as much as some, but I've had enough.
I don't think I'm out, really. I know last week I said I'm leaning that way. It's because I'm all in on the Bills, and I love the Bills. Mm-hmm. But I think I would, I almost said vote for. That's always one of my favorite things. Like a kid on a playground.
I would vote for.
I'm going to vote for the Chiefs. Now, I would root for Kansas City over a lot of teams. I think I would have rooted for them over Tampa Bay. I would have rooted for them over the Minnesota Vikings, probably, even though they've never won one.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe not, because I like Kevin O'Connell. And I love Justin Jefferson. But I don't really have enough affinity for anything with those teams to pull for them over history of a three-peat, which has never happened before. I kind of like history. I like greatness being rewarded.
Yeah.
I have nothing against Andy Reid, who I think's one of the great really coaches good. Ever. I really, really like Mahomes. I find him to be eminently likable. I like Travis Kelce a lot. He's a little bit more annoying than the other guys.
Yeah, I'm more annoyed there.
Because he has a mustache and his hairstyle is getting weirder. When he like does the comb-over thing now with the big, like, who's that comedian? Who's like super vulgar. Who has like the
Andrew Dice Clay?
No. Oh, God, you definitely know him. Andrew something.
Andrew Schultz?
Yes. Who's got like the hair that goes halfway up the back of his neck where it starts. Like Travis Kelce's doing that hairstyle now.
We'd have a great Andrew Schultz conversation during the commercial break too.
Oh, good.
I wonder how he gets away with a lot of that stuff.
So like Kelce, I'm a little over at this point. I am not like you guys where everything about Taylor Swift I'm supposed to be mad about. Don't care. Doesn't bother me in any way. She walked into the stadium. Sorry about that. I'm sorry she's there.
Yeah.
They showed her on TV for 3 seconds. Doesn't bother me. It's 16 seconds total of seeing her and Blake Lively, who, by the way, any seconds of seeing Blake Lively are good seconds for me. So you can all kiss my kiss rocks on that.
Whoa.
Kick rocks.
Whoa. Kiss them.
Kiss rocks.
Kiss them.
Yes. And kick
butts.
Yes. point of the dude's story is I'm fine with the Chiefs. I want them to beat the Eagles by 100.
Yeah.
And
I want that.
I hope Philly gets embarrassed terribly.
So it's not so much the Taylor Swift part, because I can deal with it. She's just a person at the stadium to me.
Doesn't bother me 1 ounce.
Here's where you and I are going to part company. It's not the Taylor Swift per se. It's the element that that brings. So it's unavoidable now to have the person that's like, I'll watch the sports ball because Taylor. Annoying to me.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? So yes, it's annoying.
But you're not having to deal with this person.
All the time.
Wait, how?
Always in the way. The Super Bowl party person, the friend of her. I want to watch because of Taylor. Like, it's not funny. It's not original.
I agree that it's bad shtick that's unfunny.
Yeah, and it's
trying
everywhere.
To be funny.
It's everywhere, and it's ubiquitous because of her. So, like, they need to make sure that you know we're here for Taylor Swift and not for the football match that is the most watched thing in the world, right? So, like, there's that comes up on my Instagram feed every once in a while, the one chick from Barstool that does some sort of pop culture thing. It's like, I don't care about the sports ball thing, but Taylor said it's okay, so I'm watching it. Ha, LOL. Not funny. Awful. Now it's in my life. That the element that brings but sucks.
That being in your life means you saw a reel.
Yes.
You can go like this with your thumb and never think about it
which
again.
I do, but it's unavoidable. Like, it creeps in. This is the thing you're disrespecting. It's in the element that brings is terrible. It's unfunny. It's pervasive, and it ruins it. It's not the Chiefs' fault. It's seriously, no one's at fault there. My policy in general is I don't care who you're attracted to, who you're dating, who you're not dating anymore. Not my business, not interesting to me. I've never been interested in any famous person who their dalliance is with.
See, and that's
a policy.
I love celebrity
and I know
couples.
You do.
It's one of my favorite things.
Travis Kelce has a girlfriend. That's not that amazing to me. Like, that's going to happen before time, and it'll happen the next tight end might have a girlfriend also. I don't care. But her and that element that she brings inadvertently irritates me to no end. And that's by transitivity, Kansas City thing. But again, I hope they score every single play. And set a record for points.
Do you know what we sleep on, by the way? The Eagles have been in 3 of the last 8 Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. Two completely different rosters, teams,
like,
coaches. Yeah.
Different coaches. Different iterations. Mm-hmm. Different rosters.
One Howie Roseman.
Different quarterback.
Just making moves.
They beat the Patriots. And then the teams in the NFC have been Eagles, Rams, Niners, Bucks. Rams, Eagles, Niners, Eagles.
Yeah.
3 of the last 8, Philly.
They beat the Patriots with that oaf Nick Foles. Throwing passes.
He was everywhere at the link, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, of course
they
he was.
They showed him on the big screen. If it was twice, it was 10 times. And every time, the crowd went crazy, as you'd imagine. Manoj in Brooklyn, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, buddy.
First time we've talked this year. Can't believe how much things have changed since last year.
Is this your first call this year?
Yeah, in the year of our Lord, 2025.
Wow. I mean, I recognize the name in Brooklyn. Yeah, absolutely. That's been a while. Welcome back.
First call of the season, yeah. So, actually, I was at the Eagles game on Sunday as well, so I'm happy to chat about that. But
sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. To answer your question, I mean, it's 1,000,000% you root for the Chiefs. I personally don't have a problem with dynasties that aren't that unlikable. You know, the Yankees, very hateable.
Agreed.
You know, the Warriors, not hateable.
Agreed.
This current Chiefs dynasty, not hateable. You know, Lakers with the Kobe and Shaq. I didn't hate them, but I can see why a lot of people did.
I'm in lockstep with you on this.
What are the? Well, let's keep going. What are the other dynasties? Duke basketball, hate them.
Hateable,
correct. Very hateable.
Very hateable.
Celtics, baseball, Red Sox, hate them. Celtics, hate them. Boston, Philly, you can just pretty much cross off the list.
Right.
Good thing Dallas has no dynasties. I mean, it's 1,000,000%
I put the Chiefs. Kind of with the Warriors, Manoj.
Thanks
for the call, buddy. I think they're, and I've comped the two all year.
They're close, I'd say.
Golden State kind of changed the sport and how we did things with the spacing and the shooting and the threes, and they've ruined the sport subsequently in some ways.
People were trying to copy it,
But it was an awesome thing while it lasted. And the stars, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, other than Draymond.
I was going to say, they've got Draymond Green, who couldn't be more annoying.
Yeah, like they're Rodman. So to speak. But otherwise, pretty likable. Brian Alexandria, what's good?
Hey, Brian.
Boys, how you doing tonight?
Good, buddy.
Hey, listen, speaking as one who is not actually a Commanders fan, I have to say I want the Eagles to win, if for no other reason, to get those god-awful insurance commercials off of my television. I don't want to see Andy Reid say Bundle Rooski any more than I absolutely have to. If I have to see Pat Mahomes' face on one more commercial, I will just Do you think they've had enough?
Do you think they're going to lose their TV deals just because they didn't win the title? The AFC Championship game isn't enough.
If they win and repeat the thing, they'll be everywhere.
They'll be
on the dollar bill, for God's sake. I mean, it'll be everywhere.
I get a little bit psyched for Andy Reid commercials. Big fat Andy Reid.
The one where he's eating Mahomes' cheeseburgers and stuff. I'm like, that's tough, Andy.
Oh no, the Super Bowl's back on Fox. You know what that means? It means that Terry Bradshaw is going to just be humiliating Andy Reid about how heavy he is the entire post-game interview. I mean, just so rude and inappropriate.
I forgot about that.
Hey, fatso, you eat a burger yet, Andy? I mean, he's just so inappropriate. He's like, I guess they have some like shtick.
Yeah, do I rub your belly for luck?
Yeah, he's like, Fatty? Hey, why don't you take your shirt off? We can all throw up. And Andy Reid's like, okay, man.
Okay,
he's like,
buddy.
What have you eaten since kickoff? Everything or nothing?
What'd you eat at halftime, Tub of Goo?
Yeah, he's like, I bet you had some burgers, some fried chicken, some pizza, and a milkshake. Anybody else order anything? It's like, that's not that funny, man.
Yeah.
Just to keep talking about how fat he is?
It's the unfunniness.
Why are you doing that? Go Chiefs. Go Andy Reid, man. Beat the team.
Anyone but Philly.
That said not you. Go beat him.
There you go. Yeah.
I wish I could root for someone else. I can't do it.
I got nobody left.
Taking you up to 6:30. Cliff Kingsbury's coming back. We're looking ahead to the Commanders offseason on The Fan. G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Cliff Kingsbury's coming back to the Commanders. Fox Sports reporting. He told the Saints he did not want to interview with them. He's already double-dipping. He's getting head coaching money from the Cardinals until he takes another job. Three more seasons left on his extension from them, and he gets to keep getting his OC money in Washington. So kind of a no-brainer. Are you surprised, though, even if he didn't want the job, he didn't take the interview? I'm a believer in nothing bad comes out of accepting an interview. You just don't know who's in that building that might be in some other building next year when they have an opening. And if you go woo them and impress them, maybe you move up the board to get the, you know, I don't know, the Bills job or whatever job you might want, the Bengals job next year. I just like the getting the experience. Now, he might say, dude, I've been a head coach. I'm not Joe Witt Jr., was going to get my first or second interview in this cycle. I don't need that experience. Mm-hmm. I'm choosing very selectively to take a job or not, and I'm not wasting their time or my time. And if that's his take, there's some logic to that.
Sure.
I just don't think anything bad could come. Maybe you go, they present their case, and they go, hey, we'll make you the highest paid head coach in this cycle. And we're going to, I'm just making this up, but give you personnel control. Like, you just don't know
right
until you sit down and negotiate a little bit.
There are no downsides to conversations when you've got something that you like and are happy with already. It's a thing that, you know, I've seen so many people in all different walks of life have a door opened up that they didn't even realize was going to be opened up by having those conversations. Now, the reason you don't do that is maybe you don't want to lead them on and don't want to pretend and have them get their hopes up and make them feel like they flew you down there for no reason. Right? So maybe it's out of courtesy that he's doing that. And it obviously means he's happy where he's at. He's staying, for goodness sakes. But I'm with you. I'm a believer in let him talk to you. There's no downside to it. You're walking in with I got something pretty good going. You've got to, you know, bowl me over to be able to convince me to do anything other than what I'm doing, which is the case as you already laid out, double dipping, great situation, coming to a worse one. But as you said, what if they offer you $13 million a year, and you know this is the plan? You go, well, actually, that's pretty good. It makes sense. The division isn't very good. Tampa's getting older, and Atlanta's just okay. And maybe I could do something here. You never know. So, I mean, I'm grateful. I'm glad. I'm good that he's staying. But I'd have the conversation. I'm with you.
It just seems to me like there is no downside. Now, I would also advise, if I was his agent, hey man, we shouldn't take this job. Your second gig might be your last gig. You really betting on the Saints, who are stuck in neutral, spinning their tires, who are in a bad cap situation. Granted, with a GM who works the cap beautifully, so it never really comes back to bite them in the butt. But the NFC South is a bad enough division that I think you could kind of convince somebody, hey, you come here, you could win the division most years. I just don't think you're an actual threat to go on any kind of run or accomplish anything in New Orleans until you get a quarterback. And how are you doing that where they pick? That's the problem with the Saints. They never pick high enough to get the QB to solve the riddle. You're probably not going to want to package everything together in terms of picks to go up the board because of the lack of free agency money that you have. The draft becomes that much more pertinent.
Yeah, they are the worst cap situation, just by dollars, in the NFL.
I think they're like $50 million over.
$52 million over the cap right now. In terms of practical, effective cap space, it's even worse than that. They're further negative five in the bad direction. They are in a terrible spot.
Washington's lucky that that's the last opening. And it's not a coincidence. It's probably the worst opening, too. And those two things might be related. But the rest of the jobs were filled before it was time for Kingsbury to start accepting interviews. Which commander needs to make the biggest leap next year? Let's talk about that next on Grant and Danny.